greet each of you in the very precious name of Jesus. I invite you to open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So this evening we're gathered together for a dual purpose service. And so I thought about a message for tonight, thinking about that this past week, and a council meeting service and a commissioning service. What do these two purposes we're here for have in common? How can I bring these two thoughts together? And what would God have for us this evening? And a few days ago, I thought about the verses that speak of the ministry that we've been called to. Brother Ken has been serving God, especially as a minister, for a number of years. I don't know how many years it is. And he will receive a charge in particular for this congregation, a minister. I'd like to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to look at 2 Corinthians 3 and 4. And I'm also going to do something that you shouldn't do when you've decided to preach a short message, and that is I'm going to read two chapters. Each of these chapters have 18 verses, and I think that we need to just read these verses. And I want you to think about this. Chapter 4 and verse 1 is our text verse. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. And so the title of the message this evening is, we have this ministry. This ministry. I think that my mind had actually gone to chapter 5 and verse 17, 18 talks about this ministry of reconciliation. And as I was studying, I came over here to chapter 4 and centered my thoughts around this verse, and there's just some aspects, a lot of thoughts here that we won't be able to touch this evening. So I'd like to read 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and 4, and you think about this thought of your life, the work that God has called you to do as an individual, as a Christian, and if you're a leader here this evening, think about the specific work God has called you to. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some other epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Now I'm going to stop there. And what does he mean? What's he referring to here? What are these letters, these epistles of commendation? As I understand, in that era of time, there were churches it wasn't the apostles, but some of the other churches would go around and preach the gospel and endeavor to establish churches. And when they would come into a new area, they would bring along letters of recommendation from the church that they were from or the church that they had just started. And so that's the setting here. Paul says, do we begin ourselves to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation or recommendation to you, or letters of recommendation from you? And then he says this, ye are our epistle, ye are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us. In other words, leaders are called to minister the word and to serve people and to help people to find Christ and to help people to understand the call and the claim that God has in their lives. Declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us. We had a work to do as leaders, written not with ink but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness or boldness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded, for unto this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we have received mercy, we faint not. As we have received mercy, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, but that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I'd like to consider this in three aspects. Number one, what is this ministry? What is this ministry? And second, we'd like to look at who is involved in this ministry. And then I'd like to consider fulfilling the calling of this ministry. And I trust that as we read through these verses, there were a couple things that impressed you. And one is that we are all a part of this ministry. And the purpose of our ministry is to give glory to God and not to ourselves. It is the Lord's work, it's not our work. And so we want that thought to come through as well. What is this ministry? In verse 6, he talks about here in chapter 3, he talks about this new covenant or this new testament. And so he has made us able ministers of the New Testament, or of this new covenant. And in verses 7 through 11, he compares the old with the new. Talks about the glory there that surrounded Mount Sinai. And when Moses went up into the mount and received the law of God, those tables of stone where God wrote with his finger on the tables, and he wrote the law. God gave to his people that which was upon his heart. And he wrote there how he wanted them to live, but it was all to bring glory to him. And it was glorious. The people were not able to look upon the glory. But he's saying that that is a glory that faded away and that was going to finally expire, as it were. And the new glory, or the glory of the New Testament, the new covenant, was a glory that outshone the old glory. And so it is the new covenant, the work of Christ. We'll look at that more as we go along. Verse 17 also talks about this liberty. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And it's a liberty that is within the realm of grace. It's a liberty that is under the blessing and accepting the direction of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And it's this liberty, it's this ministry that we can have because we have liberty in Christ. It's not a liberty that gives us freedom to do whatever we want to do, but it's a liberty that frees us to be a part of the ministry of Christ within his kingdom and within the realm of his blessing and his guidance and his direction. Liberty that brings peace, and liberty that is fulfilling. And then in verse 18, he says, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, as in a mirror, we behold the glory of the Lord." And I like to think of that as looking in a mirror, and there's the reflection of Christ. And the more we look at him, the more we consider him, the more we let this mind of Christ be in us. He says we are changed from glory to glory in the same image. In the same image, and we have Christ's stamp upon our heart. And it's this ministry of helping others. Well, I should maybe say first that this ministry involves keeping ourselves there. You know, the tendency is that we are saved and we love the Lord and we want to be like him. We want to be like Christ. We want to serve him. We hope that others learn to know Christ, and gradually that we can kind of cool off. But this ministry, part of this ministry is staying there in front of that mirror, as it were, and continuing to behold Christ and his work. And our need of him, and allowing his image to be stamped in our own hearts, and then to allow that to radiate forth from our lives, this ministry. Secondly, who is involved in this ministry? Well, in verse 2, he said that ye are our epistle. And what else does he say? He said, you are known and read of all men. You're known and read of all men. And Paul is saying that there is a work that Christ has done in their hearts, he has done in your hearts, and you're like a letter. You are like a book or a letter or an epistle that is being shown to others. Others are reading it. Ye are our epistle, written in our own hearts, known and read of all men. In verse 12, he says, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. There is a hope that we all can have as believers. Paul could use boldness and plainness of speech because he not only understood and was given power to preach. And I want you to think about this thought. In other words, this ministering the word is not only a calling that leaders have to somehow just continue to preach and continue to preach and continue to preach the word, but they, his readers, could also understand. because they too receive the same gift of the Spirit. You know, even as some of us are called to preach the word, not because we don't need the word. I need to listen to Brother Steve preach, and I need to listen to Brother Joe and Andy. I need infilling. But Paul was a minister of the gospel. He was preaching the word. But he was not only given the power and the understanding of the word of God, but his readers, his listeners, those in the Corinthian church could also understand, because they too had received the word or the Spirit. And today, as congregations, we are together in this ministry. We aren't simply preaching the word and it's coming into your hearts and somehow your cup gets full and then you go home and somehow the cup just gets emptied throughout the week. But you go home and you have your meditation in the word and you're filling your cup up. And we come together, we are all leaky vessels, we all need more and more of the word. We need Christian fellowship, we need Christian brotherhood, and we continue to come together, to listen to the word preached, and then go forth, and we are an epistle and a letter that others are reading. Chapter 4 and verse 1, we have received mercy. We all have received that. In verses 6 and 7, he talks about this light that shined out of darkness. And then in verse 7, he said that we have this treasure. This treasure. We all have this treasure in earthen vessels. Now, thinking about the fulfilling of the calling of this ministry, I want you to think just a little bit about this word fulfilling. We have a call, and God is asking us to fulfill this calling. Fulfilling. I thought about Amazon. I want you to just think about this a little bit. So, how many of you buy things from Amazon? Okay. Talking about something we're all familiar with. And that return address on the UPS sticker says something about fulfillment center. Amazon has figured out that to bring an unimaginable number of products into one e-store site with easy ordering, free shipping, hassle-free return policy, that people love it and the orders flood in. You can easily and simply order whatever you want and whatever your heart desires. I don't know why they call it a fulfillment center. But that's essentially what happens. Something pops into your mind, you say, you know what, I'd like that. A couple clicks in your phone and you can have that thing ordered. Short, just a matter of 25 seconds. Your credit card's already all entered in, it's just bang, bang, bang. And in a matter of minutes, that thing's heading your direction. And hopefully you can find it at whichever door in your property they left it at. And fulfillment. A number of years ago, I was driving out Interstate 81, got off at the Allen Road exit at Carlisle, probably heading to Blue Ridge to church. And you know, there was a bunch of several new warehouses that were going in. And I saw this sign that said Fulfillment Center. And I thought, what in the world? Like, what does that have to do with a warehouse, a fulfillment center? And then later on sometime, we started getting these packages in the mail, and I saw this on the return address, Fulfillment Center. Fulfillment. Amazon is fulfilling your desires. It's a fulfillment center. It's where they deliver the packages to you. Fulfillment. And trust me, Jeff Bezos is finding fulfillment as well. While he's riding his $500 million yacht and you're buying packages from him, they want to fulfill your desire of a pleasant shopping experience, and he's fulfilling his desire too. Fulfillment. Fulfilling the calling of this ministry. There is a calling, and we need to fill that need. We need to fulfill the purpose for which God has placed us in this world and has, through his mercy, has presented us with this opportunity of being a part of this ministry. We're not going to turn to these passages, but Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3 talks about fulfilling the desires of our flesh. And it's when our carnal nature desires something, and the carnal man wants that desire to be fulfilled. Galatians 5 and verse 16 talks about not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. And then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, in verse 11, we have says, "Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power." And he is fulfilling his purposes in and through you. And God is calling us to minister grace to those that we meet, fulfilling this calling. I'd like to just look at a couple of points here quickly as we think about fulfilling this ministry and this calling. First of all, we have this thought here. Paul says in verses 8 through 10, he says that we faint not, or here in verse 1 of chapter 4, he says that we, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. And being called to this ministry, brethren and sisters, we got to keep on going. We got to keep on going. Paul says that we faint not. We're not going to give up. We're not going to allow the pull of the flesh to detract us away from this calling and the work of this ministry. Here in chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. I'm sorry, here in chapter 4, in verses 8 through 10, he says that we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Always bearing about in the body, and so on. And Paul is no doubt referring to particularly to the physical danger that he faced. And he was saying that I'm not going to let that deter me. I'm going to keep on. We're troubled on every side. So what happens to you when you're troubled on every side? What do? I can tell you what I do. I'm distressed. Troubles are on every side. I'm distressed. Here in the last week or two, I've had a couple times when I'm just feeling overwhelmed. Not everything is getting done. Paul said that we're troubled on every side, but we're not distressed. There's hope. We have a God that is calling us to a ministry, and he is going to help us fulfill the calling. He'll help us get it done. Verse 16, "For which cause we faint not, though our inward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." And the key to fainting not is that we need renewed. We need renewed. We need God's word. Tell you what, today there's just a lot of cheap stuff around that's called spiritual inspiration, and it's not that. It's just man's nice words that they put together. We need the scriptures. We need the Bible. We need God's word. God's word. It's a living word. I was impressed with this. Brother Steve read that verse tonight, that the word of God will endure forever. A week ago, I got a new cover put on my Bible. It's a new cover. My old cover was just wearing away. It was tearing. It was scotch taped together, and then that would come off. And I got a new cover. It's a goatskin cover. It's supposed to be really, really good. And I thought about asking you all to hold your Bible up, but I'm not going to do that. No doubt there's some Bibles that are old and maybe tattered, and that's just all right. Is there anyone here that has a brand new Bible, the first time they brought it to church tonight? But you know what? The word that's, words that are in these within these covers are fresh and new. It doesn't matter what the cover looks like. It doesn't matter if your Bible doesn't even have a cover on it. The words are new and they're fresh and they're living, they're alive, and they're eternal. And so we need that. We need that daily filling. In verse 1, he says here in chapter 4, therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy. And I believe tonight that one of the things that we need in order to keep from fainting is to think often about the mercy of God and where we would be without his mercy, where we would be without the message of the gospel. We're not going to give up. Secondly, fulfilling the call to this ministry, we need to renounce the works of darkness. And we have that here in verse 2. Renounce the works of darkness. This word renounce means to disown. And Strong says this, that it's to off oneself. It says to off, O-F-F oneself. And it was a little phrase there that wasn't real typical of Strong's. It didn't really make sense in English as we think about it. But what I understood the Strong's dictionary was saying is that we renounce these things. We turn it off in our life. The problem with us so often is that we have ourselves convinced that sin is something we can't always help. And that we have this carnal nature and it's just something that lives within us and sinning just will happen and there's nothing we can do about it. And we have 100 excuses of why we did it. Renouncing, disown it. The hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. Craftiness is just being sly about how you do your business and how you live your life and how you let other people know who you really are. Crafty. Nor handling the word of God deceitfully. All of us and leaders, we need to handle the word of God carefully. We need to preach exactly what the word says and nothing more and nothing less. Not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience. Manifestation is transparency. It's the true gospel and the true light is manifest. We unashamedly let it shine. Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world." Renounce the hidden things of the hidden works of darkness, or the hidden things. And we have this word hidden. Hidden things is that which we don't want others to know about. Renouncing the works of darkness. I think we're going to move on. Number 3, as we think about fulfilling this ministry, over in chapter 3 in verse 6, he says that we are able ministers. We are able ministers. God has called us to a ministry that each one of you is able to accomplish. You're able to fulfill this calling. In fulfilling this calling, we are bringing pleasure and satisfaction to our Lord and Savior. We are fulfilling this calling and this ministry. We are able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. A minister is a servant or a waiter. And we are servants of the gospel and servants to the gospel. A number of weeks ago, I brought a message on our mission statement. Having a mission statement for our lives and just, you know, challenge of who we're living for and what we're living for. And I did a little research on mission statements, and I compared the mission statement of Chick-fil-A with the mission statement of McDonald's. And I don't have that with me, and I don't remember the exact words. But the mission statement of Chick-fil-A deals mostly with honoring God, number one, and the mission statement strongly expresses the idea that they want their workers and their employees to give an expression of friendliness and leave an impression on people, on their customers. McDonald's mission statement deals with the food and with the products. And they want people to, they want to serve feel-good food, it says. As I thought about that in relation to being able ministers of this gospel, this evening we're not ministers of a feel-good gospel. But we are serving, we are delivering, we are a manifestation of a product that's genuine from the inside out. We want to reach people's hearts. Serving the gospel is not serving feel-good food or products, but rather our serving expresses interest in people's lives. It expresses hearts that are at rest and souls that are satisfied and at peace. Servants. Over in chapter 5, in verses 15 through 21, and he that died for all that they which should live not henceforth, pardon me, and that he died for all that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And I think we read this passage, we preach on this passage, someone has a devotional in this passage, and we right away go to this idea of reconciling personal, interpersonal relationships. And that's all a part of the work of this ministry. But that's not really what he's talking about here. He's talking about the work of Christ. He says that if we are in Christ, we are a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. And we are servants of Christ in a ministry where we are seeking to help people to get reconciled with God and to understand the steps of salvation and understand the gift of eternal life. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are his representatives here in this foreign land. And though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, a sin offering for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so God, this ministry is that which we are servants of his, we are ambassadors for him, and we are his epistle is written in our hearts, and we are made righteous because of the work of Christ on the cross. Able ministers and servants for him. Number 4 is that we preach and represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have that in here in chapter 4 and verse 5. He says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." And then last of all, is this ministry is a treasure. And here in verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. It's this light that has shined in our hearts. It's shined out of the darkness, and it's shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And it's this eternal, it's this heavenly, it is this glorious light. It is this light of salvation that's able to save the worst sinner And it's this light of salvation that is able to soften the hardest heart. And God wants to write his law in our hearts. God wrote on those tables of stone with his finger, and it was engraven in that hard stone. But today, God wants to write his laws in your heart. Amen. It's no longer a hard heart, but it's a soft heart. One that is pliable, one that is open to the word of God, one that is teachable, one that is impressionable, one that is soft and caring and compassionate and loving, and one that is not going to faint, but it's going to continue on. This ministry is a treasure. As the gospel is ministered through you, is it hid or is it manifestly declared? Is your life fulfilling to the Master? And tonight we find fulfillment only as we fulfill Christ's desire for our lives. May God help us to live lives that are fulfilling, lives that are ministering his gospel to those around us, and may we be able ministers of his. May God bless the further service.